Now, let me see. Where are we here? Because sitting in front of me is a very expensive-looking, beautifully produced 700-page hardback. Actually, I'm going to try and pick it up. It's absolutely ridiculous. Good thing I don't have a coffee table because I look at this. Look. Oh, jeepers. You can still feel it. That's ridiculous. It's called the Ultimate Sneaker Book, right? Trainers, runners, sneakers, whatever you want to call them. Sneakerheads. That's what they call them, I believe, are those who collect them. They're known as sneakerheads. And they've existed for years in the States, but only its recent years with the growth of online purchasing, social media, etc. The trend basically has reached our own shores in a real way. Well, Darren Rice of Beat FM is a self-confessed sneakerhead who owns over 100 pairs of the things. And also, Darren, are you here? Yes, I am.
I am. How are you doing? Good morning.
I'm very good. Is Ash there? Let me see. Is Ash on line one? Yeah. Hello, Ash. How are you doing? Are you all right, Ash?
Hey Dave, how's things? You well?
Things are very good. Fair play to you that you're up after a night playing a gig at Whelan's in Dublin. I'll talk to you about that in a second. Anyway, as in Ash Keating from Frank and Walters, you've got 250 pairs. For the love of Jesus, with the two of you get a life. Anyway, Darren, I'll ask you first. How have we got to the stage that there are magazines and books dedicated to runners? I'm allowed to ask that question in that way because
you can, of course.
Thank you.
It's essentially consumerism gone mad, Dave. Like, I've been into this 25 years now, since I was 9 years old. Kind of became obsessed with Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls and the whole basketball thing. And that, to me, I don't know, I just have posters on my wall. And, you know, you kind of always emulate your heroes. You see it as well, like kids buying Adidas in the 90s because of the whole Britpop wave and the Gallaghers and things like that. But for me, it started much earlier. And back then, it was a case of that you could just walk into your local sports shop and the shoes would be sitting on the rack and you could just pick them up. Nowadays, it's completely changed. Around about the mid-noughties or early noughties, Nike did a skateboarding line, Nike SB, and they used to do these limited edition shoes. And there was like riots in America and like queues for, you know, a week in the freezing cold in New York on the streets just to get these shoes. And ever since then, the whole hype just kind of kicked off. And it never really happened in Ireland because we never got those releases. It would happen in America and in London and mainland Europe, but not so much Dublin. And I hate to kind of attribute it to this man because he's a complete wreck the head. But Kanye West has had a kind of a massive effect on it because his Yeezy line with Adidas are kind of the first sought after limited edition shoes that ever got an Irish release. So you had kids queuing on Grafton Street, on Mary Street, you know, sometimes for up to like 2 and 3 days at a time just to get these shoes. And the interesting thing about it is it's not always just about wearing the shoes. Sometimes it's about selling the shoes because of the market that has come around these things. So like, you could essentially buy a pair of shoes for €200, but you could flip them to some kid in Malaysia online for €600. And it became a business in itself. And, you know, it's gone so manic now that you almost need a degree or a master's in IT to cop hyped shoes because they sell out. It's like trying to get Glastonbury
tickets.
Just
what you're talking about there, because obviously I know nothing about this. I just thought, have you ever seen the movie I, Daniel Blake?
No, I haven't.
Well, there's a scene in that where the guys buy these stuff online or whatever and then they sell them. That's exactly the same thing. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Now, listen, hold on a second. I still don't get it all. I mean, look at this book. Just look at it. Now, I know you can't see it, Ash, but mother of God, it's incredible. Like a 700 or 800, it's biggest, heaviest book I've ever seen in my life. Darren, I'll stay with you for 1 second, Darren, because pigeon dunks, for instance, why are they a precursor to all of this, and what is a pigeon dunk?
They're the ones that I was telling you about, Nike skateboarding. It was a collaboration.
Oh, the skateboard ones.
They were dunks. They were kind of more padded for skateboarding in, and they were a collaboration with a company called Staple Design, a guy called Jeff Staple. They went on sale in New York, I think it might have been about 2004 or thereabouts, and there was a queue for, I'd say, the bones of a week. The NYPD tried to shut it down, and basically nobody was going. They were holding onto the fences and they wouldn't leave. So the way they had to sell them in the end, I think there might have been just over 100 pairs or thereabouts. They were all individually numbered. The way they had to do it in the end was you were let in one at a time, you bought your shoes and you went out through the back entrance. But it gets better. Well, you hear this. You go through the back entrance, they had a queue of NY yellow cabs waiting to take the people away as soon as they had their shoes, because as once the crowd had dispersed, there was like various weapons, bats, knives, machetes, everything found outside the store because people were going to jump people coming out. Now, these things now sell for thousands, depending on the size. And it's a real kind of thing with like fashion and the way it goes. Like, dunks went out of fashion, kind of stopped being cool, but they're being brought back now by rappers like Travis Scott, amongst others, who are now wearing the old SB line. And obviously, like, prices are skyrocketing. But like, back in the day in the mid noughties, dunks were untouchable. Like, I've pairs here with me, collaborations with, they look like a Tiffany jewellery box.
He's brought in a huge suitcase full of the whole thing.
There's a ton of them there.
Well, you're sorting through those. Ash, I want to ask you about all this as well, because I mentioned earlier there that you, Ash Keating of the the Franklin Waters have over 250 pairs. How did you get, like, I should be into, this should be prime time and it should be kind of a silhouette of you. How did you get hooked, Ash?
It was back in the late 70s. There was we used to buy our trainers, our rubber dollies, as we used to call them, back then, from Dunn's. I think they were called Jeepsters. And the most exotic pair you could get was a pair of Gola. And then some kid just kind of arrived into the class one day and he had a pair of Adidas Rom. And it was just, you know, the white leather, the blue stripes, just the shape of them, everything. I just instantly fell in love with the trainers, not the kid. And that was it. I was hooked. I think it was around 1979. And, you know, like, hassling me mum for years to try and get money to buy a pair, because they were a bit more expensive than your Dunstores trainers. And I finally got a pair, and then it never stopped. And I've kind of been in and out of it for years. And it kind of goes in cycles, you know.
It sounds like you're describing some kind of weird fetish almost. Oh, hold on a second. Like, do you wear them or do you just look at them?
I've got pairs that I wear, and I've got pairs that I collect, I suppose, you know. I have gone through kind of like major kind of obsessive periods when you just buy every brand new release that comes out. But you kind of, you know, you cop yourself on it and you reduce the collection. I mean, at the moment, like, I just realised, like, about a year ago that I think it was up around the 300 mark, and I said, oh, this, I can't sustain this. Like, it's costing me a fortune. Plus, you know, I've no space at home. So, I've just been reducing it down. I'm going to try to get it down for about 150 pairs that I just, you know, want to keep.
It really should be, Brian. You're trying to cut down.
The only thing I would compare to, just sorry, Ash, somebody in the band, is, like, if you're a guitarist, you know, how many effects pedals have you got? You know, and I think everybody kind of who has a certain hobby or has an interest in something collects something. Yeah, yeah. Dave, you surely must have something that you've
been
collecting.
I see what you're saying. I mean, like, even like as a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old with dinky toys and all this kind of thing, you had to have more than the next guy or whatever. You know?
And I think there's a real thing as well that in the modern day shoe scene, it's a lot to do with people trying to recapture their youth. Like, I have shoes there that I wanted when I was 9 years old. Those ones, they were the ones that started for me, those Air Jordan 6s. And I wanted those when I was 9, but I couldn't get them because they were out the year previous. And they didn't re-release them until years later.
You wanted them because you wanted to start a collection, or you wanted them because you wanted to look cool?
I was 9 years old, so it wasn't really about collecting them. It was just, I liked the look of them. They were being worn on the posters I had at home. Like, the sports stars in the 80s, Michael Jordan, Andre Agassi, like, those ones there, I saw their neon yellow Air Tech Challenge 3 released in 1990. I remember standing outside of Marathon Sports in Grafton Street looking through the window at them, and I was thinking, there's no way my ma's going to buy them for me, you know. But then as an adult, when they re-release and they're the same as the original, you're kind of like, oh, geez, I'll have a pair of them, you know. And there was always that real heartbreaking time as well when you transferred from kids' sizes to adult sizes, because 1 to 5.5 is a kid's size, and then once you hit a 6, once your foot grows, the shoes are more expensive. It's nearly double the price. So, you know, your collection wouldn't have been as big. And I remember standing, like, multiple times standing there and going, like, geez, I'd love them, but they either don't make them in my size or they're too expensive. And it's just trying to recapture that, I think, for a lot of people.
All right, well, look, this is an education, no question about it. If anybody else wants to add to the education with Darren and Ash, 51552 is the text. Let's just go stay with you for a second, Darren, because you mentioned something earlier on that it really is all supply and demand management, like, you know, Amsterdam and the tulips years ago. Is this just consumerism and capitalism explained, let's say, via a shoebox?
I think it is. I think we live in an age where people almost need the confirmation of a celebrity to know that something is cool or that they want to wear it. Like, as I mentioned earlier, you see someone like Travis Scott wearing a certain model of shoe and instantly the value shoots up. And then, like, the market is created as in people have these shoes, they may have got them for a retail price of 150 back in the day, but that shoe is now worth 800 or 900 euro. So do you cash out or do you sit and hope it goes up and down? You know, you don't really know what way it's going to happen. But it's gone so crazy nowadays, like I said, you almost need a degree in computer science, because you have people, like, the minute these shoes go live on websites, the websites crash, like, with the sheer numbers of people trying to obtain them. Yeah. So what happens is a market has come about of shoe bots. So these are automated computer bots, right? I know you're looking at me sideways, but this is the truth. That computer bots that will, you fill your name, your address and your card details into, and you point it towards a link that you know the shoe is going to be live on. The bot will get through the website, it will add it to cart, it will put in your details and it will pay for it quicker than you ever could as a human. Thus, they sell out. And it's gone so wild. This is the people that kind of blows people, the part that blows people's minds is that some of these bots are so successful or have been in the past that they now sell out. So you have people writing computer bots to buy computer shoe bots. It's crazy. Like, it's
okay, Ash, that last 2 minutes that Darren's been talking about, do you get involved in that? Are you, like, do you buy to resell?
A little bit, but I try to stay away from it. I think the Nike world is that pretty much describes the Nike world a lot, and the new shoe stuff. But I mean, what I'd be more involved in would be kind of the vintage Adidas world, and which is kind of going off to places like Thailand and going off to places like Russia and trying to go to secondhand stores and find old rare models and then come back and restore them, you know. So it's not as high tech as the Nike world, but sometimes you get drawn into it when they do a big reissue. You do end up like flying over to the UK and kind of queuing up for hours on end outside some random shop in Manchester.
What's the most you've ever spent on what I would just call a pair of, I'm sure it's not the right word, a pair of runners, trainers, whatever? What's the most you've ever spent?
There was I spent £250 twice. There was a Munchen reissue there about 2010, I think, or no, actually 2012. That was one of the trainers that I would have loved as a kid, but I could never afford it. So to finally get it, and it was a made in Germany pair, which are always a bit special. And the kind of most I paid for a vintage pair was a pair of Adidas Sao Paulo, made in West Germany in the 70s. And you know, that was another one where I wanted it as a kid, couldn't afford it, couldn't track it down, and then, you know, suddenly managed to get it on through a trainer forum that I'm on, which was great.
All right, speaking of Sao Paulo, actually, the new Coldplay Double Album, and we're doing a special thing on that after 10 o'clock, and it's live from Sao Paulo. Oh, there you go. Now, listen, hold on, Darren. I'm damn sure, Darren, you're going to tell me £250 is a lot of money, but wait till you see what Darren has spent. Okay, I'm glad we're all sitting down. What have you spent? What's the most you spent on a pair of these things?
On a pair to wear, I paid a guy in Hong Kong €800 for a pair of Adidas NMDs. They were a collaboration with a Japanese streetwear brand called Bathing Ape, which I was a big fan of back in the day. But as an investment, paid €3,000 for a pair of Nike Mags. They were the Back to the Future ones. The light up. You remember Back to the Future 2 when Marty McFly goes to the future and he gets the shoes that they auto lace?
Yeah. Well, they don't. Oh no, it was a skateboard that flew.
I have one of those hoverboards as well. It doesn't hover. But anyway, that's another conversation. Right. But basically the Nike Mag in 2011, they made, I think it was like 1,100 or 30.
So you're saying this is an investment?
Yeah. Well, it was. So I get right. I think they made 1,500 across all sizes. It was an auction on eBay. All proceeds went to the Parkinson's Fund for Michael J. Fox. And it was matched dollar for dollar by Sergey Brin of Google. So they've raised millions. Anyway, you could only buy them in America. I bid on a pair because it was around my birthday. I said, I'm going to buy these. Had a bit of cash lying around. Got them shipped to a friend of mine in Chicago and he shipped them on. €3,000 thereabouts, it ran me, right? So I got them. I only kind of wore them around the house maybe once or twice, never on pavement. They didn't auto-lace. They lit up. They were really cool. They looked the business. But you wouldn't be wearing them, you know, down the pub or anything.
Never
like
on pavement. You think you're selling them now, by the way? By the way, they've never been used. So, hold on. Here's a text that this explains an awful lot. I have two sons that have no space for anything in their room because they have so many pairs of shoes, some of which they don't wear. 51552, by the way, is the text. Shoes is the wrong word, is it, Darren?
Yeah, well, you did, no, not really. Like, I think the whole sneaker word is just, it's too American and it's very kind of.
Well, it's probably
cringe.
Gone back to shoes now because it's good, retro, and cool. Like, people on the radio all talk about, here's a great tune, that kind of thing.
Exactly. It is right. Kind of those things, you know. It's just really, it depends on the shoe as well. But, like, really quickly, on those Nike Mags, I ended up selling them to the great grandson of the founder of Porsche, the car company, a guy in Switzerland, for double the money I paid for him. Got like $6,000 for them 3 years later. You know, the investment, just, it was €1,000 a year they
and can you spot more of those and tell me about them and I could get involved in this too? Like, is there anything out there you can buy for say $1,000 and sell for $20,000?
I don't know, to be honest.
It's a slippery slope, Dave. You don't get involved.
You see, it is prime time. Actually, just as a matter of interest, Ash, how was the gig last night in Whelan's?
Oh, it was brilliant.
Was it?
Yeah, Whelan's always great venue, so happy days. Yeah,
indeed it is, yeah. And are you in Dublin now still, yeah? You're in Dublin at the moment,
No, I had to go back to Cork, so but all good. It was like the limo driver drove us back.
So. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, right. As usual. But if you're hanging around, like, I mean, where are the best shops in Ireland? Are they as good in Cork as they are in Dublin for buying this stuff, or is everything online?
Not really. Online mostly. Size is very good in Dublin, in Wicklow Street, isn't it? But online mainly. And, you know, obviously London, Manchester, the big UK cities are...
There's also a store in Angel Street in Dublin called Nowhere, which has a really great Nike account. It's kind of the top level Nike account in terms of limited releases.
And you mentioned Kanye West is a key figure in all of this, for better or worse or whatever.
Unfortunately,
but he's worked with both Nike and Adidas, hasn't he?
He has. I've two pairs of the original Nike ones he did there. I got them for retail when they released, and now if you walk into a store in New York, they're $3,000.
Wait, when you say he did, you mean like there was a picture of him wearing these things, and that was enough for you to think that they must be worth buying? Or
No, he sat down and designed them. And
Excuse me.
Yeah, with Nike, and I kind of more or less...
Do you believe that?
For the original ones, I kind of maybe got a bit caught up in the hype, and I was like, I kind of like the look of them, I'll have them. And ended up with two pairs of the very, very first Yeezy ones, and then he had fallen out with Nike because they wouldn't produce the amount he wanted. And then he went to Adidas, and kind of this is what has kickstarted a lot of it in Ireland. It has been around for a long time. There are people like myself who've been into this for many years, and like Ash there. But in terms of like Facebook groups and it being talked about... like we're here now and, you know, books being printed and stuff like that, it's kind of a very modern thing. And a lot of the Irish scene I would attribute to the hype created by Kanye, you know, unfortunately, so, because it's gotten harder and harder to defend him as a person as time has gone. Like, I'm an old school Kanye fan, I still love the music, or I used to at least, but I think both musically and socially he's gone off the Richter, you know.
And Ash, what about you in terms of brands? Are you loyal to a specific brand?
Yeah, I mean, it would be mostly Adidas and Puma to a lesser extent. And then with Nike, kind of models like Cortez, LVB, Internationalist, the kind of the 70s, 80s ones, the less basketball kind of type ones. So, but it would be mostly Adidas. Of the 240 I have, there's probably about 200.
All right. But Darren, what about you? I mean, like, it's the shoe more than the brand, I get the impression.
Yeah, I kind of cross over between Nike and Adidas. The majority of my collection would be Nike. I really like what Adidas are doing now. They're doing a thing, you know about this, Ash, the Spezial range, and it's put together by a guy called Gary Aspden. So Gary, back in the day, was the main connect between Adidas and celebrities. So if Liam and Noel and Oasis were getting their Adidas, they were getting it from Gary. He still knocks around with Ian Brown, Goldie, people like that. And he put together this retro line where they take loads of pieces from the 80s and the 70s and they recreate them in modern day silhouettes and materials. It's a great video you should check out, Dave, actually, with Gary Aspen and Ian Brown.
I'm telling you, you
want to watch this, right? Gary Aspen and Ian Brown going to Argentina and discovering an old sportswear store in the middle of Buenos Aires. This place looks like it hasn't been open since
75. You're talking Stone Roses, F-E-A-R, Ian Brown
has numerous Adidas collaborations. He has the shoes with his name and his face on them and stuff. So if Ian Brown says it's cool, you must think it's cool too now. Come on, you're a bit of a hipster as well. But they went and cleaned this fella out anyway. His shoe store looked like it hadn't been open since the 70s. All these retro models that even the Adidas workers didn't know existed. They brought them all back to the UK. They copied the designs, blah, 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 and now they're re-releasing them. And they even put the old fella's face on a shoe to commemorate him as being a great...
Yeah,
a great inspiration for this line.
Sorry, wait a minute, Ash. Do you know Carlos? Is that what you said? Carlos, is that his name?
I do, yeah.
You have the shoes, Ash? The ones with Carlos on them?
I do. I'm actually wearing a pair of Albrecht from the first Spiesel range. They're like a shoe as opposed to a trainer. Mm. So it means I can wear them for gigs or kind of funerals or weddings and stuff.
There used to be a lot of those were Asian only. I remember Noel Gallagher talking a lot about wearing Adidas shoes. Himself and Liam, they used to fight over a pair of chocolate brown Adidas when they went to Tokyo. But you see, the times have changed now. You can get these things online, whereas before you had to go to Asia for the Asia exclusives. You don't anymore. The world is much smaller.
Ash, I don't know if you've seen this book, The Ultimate Sneaker Book. It is the heaviest book I've ever held in my hand. It's really like illustratedly, colourfully amazing. Is this the full, like, besides this, where do you get your info from?
Oh, it's just blogs and forums and Facebook groups, and like, you'll get a lot of early release pages on the likes of Instagram. You'll have people who work in factories that would have, you know, sneak previews of these shoes that are coming out. There's a pair of Nikes that aren't due to release till next March, but there's been various colorways being shown on Instagram for months now, you know.
We're going to put a photo up of the book on Twitter there. Just the other brands, by the way, Reebok and Puma and all the rest, they're cool as long as the shoe is cool.
Yeah, like, there's the old Reebok about pumps, the Shaquille O'Neal ones from back in the day. Do you remember those in the 80s with the pump
on
the tongue?
No, I don't. We just
you're too busy wearing your Doc Martens and your tartan pants, Dave.
God
that's the problem.
Sake.
But yeah, you get a lot of collectors who kind of might be a little bit more specialist. They might like their Diadoras, or they might like their New Balance, and they're, you know, Asian only exclusives or different colorways. And there's levels to this, you know, as in it's tiered that, like, some of the collectors like Diadora might look down on the likes of myself and Ash for being into Nike and Adidas. You know, it's kind of there's an aloofness kind of sometimes attributed to these things. I know it sounds particularly nerdy, but that's just
Ash, I mean, like, there was a mention of the, like, actually, Darren, you said, like, around 9 years of age or whatever. Is there an age, is there a cutoff where you can just look naff, Ash, wearing these things? Is there a certain age you say, I can't do it anymore, except as an investment?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm 51 and I'm still wearing trainers to work, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's
yeah, but you're a rock and roll star.
you think there is, but there's not really. I mean, if you go, like, see these trainer groups, like, we had a kind of a gathering there, as we call it, in Amsterdam last year. And, I mean, most of the lads there were kind of 40 plus.
Wait a second, hold on. So you had a trainer group gathering in Amsterdam?
Yeah, we do about four of them a year, so... You know, we had one in Dublin about four years ago.
Do you bring the shoes you don't wear and say, look what I've got, and I'm not taking them out of the box?
No, you only have the one pair, but I suppose it's more a social thing, really. You spend the first 10 minutes talking about trainers, but then you're just talking about...
This is just... You can replace this with books, knitting, drink. It's ridiculous. Oh, sorry, it's fantastic. It's very interesting. Darren,
yes.
Is this a male thing only?
Predominantly, there are females you see online, and they kind of have an easier time because they want the smaller sizes and things like that. But particularly in Ireland, there's a couple of events that run maybe quarterly called Coffee and Kicks, where a lot of people, you know, they put shoes on display and people meet up to talk about it. And it is predominantly a male orientated world. Now, you will, like I said, get some females.
You're telling me loads of males meet to have coffee mornings and talk about shoes.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is a new one on me. Really? Clandestine meetings take place?
Above Coffee Angel on Trinity Street in town. There's one next Saturday between 1
say
and 4.
Say in a warehouse somewhere where you can't get to. Okay, alright, hold on a second now. oh my God, sorry, you're looking at me going, okay Dave, that's enough laughing now, Dave.
Yeah,
this is very serious. Okay. So the ultimate sneaker guide then, would this be like, have you heard of this? Have you?
I've heard of it. I know the blog that your man writes, Sneaker Freaker, the ones behind it, an Australian company, and I know he had a hand in it, or it's his baby, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, like, are you all right there, Ash? Are you? You just sound like you fell
all
off
good.
The phone. So listen, look, Frank and Walters, what are you actually? I was going to play a bit of a track. I might just play it after the news because you're on that album at the moment that's out about the Fela album, isn't it?
Oh, the Fela, yeah,
the Fela Live, the Fela Classical. I played one last week for you, so I'll play another one now in a minute or two. But anyway, what are you doing next, by the way, Frank and Walters wise?
We're just doing a few shows over Christmas, and then 2019 is our 30th anniversary, 30 years since our very first gig in 1989. So we're going to kind of do a bit of a retrospective, do a retrospective
and why not?
Release, do a bit of a tour, and there's also new music on the way. So.
All right, so there's a bit of everything going on. And don't forget the Frank and Walters, the band who toured Britain, and you know who the support band was? Radiohead.
Wow.
There you go. Listen, Darren, it's been a pleasure. Thanks very much. What are you up to, Darren, by the way?
I am in competition with yourselves on the radio every morning. That's about it, really.
Right, okay. So that's Darren Rice, and he's buying shoes to beat the band. We should give him this. I certainly don't want it. Do you want that, Darren?
I'll take that.
God almighty.
Don't drop
well
that.
Done. Okay, that's a happy Christmas there, Darren.
Thank
Ash,
you, sir.
I would have given it to you as well, but I'm afraid you're not here. So listen, Darren Rice, thanks a million. And Ash Keating, thanks
Same
a million
Dave.
Too. Take it
thanks,
easy, boys. Good luck.
Good luck.
And education. Dave Fanning on 2FM.